Welcome to the Connections Podcast, a podcast devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm Jack Brennan, Connections at UUSM. Our guest today is Hildur Carlin. Hildur was born and raised in Minnesota. She grew up in two UU churches. She went to college at the University of Wisconsin, where she majored in comparative literature and moved to New York City after graduation. She lived in New York City for 11 eventful years. During those years, she got a graduate degree in education, taught school, met Conrad, married Conrad, and had her first baby, Tekla. She moved back to Minnesota for a couple of years before moving to California in 2004. Her second baby, Astrid, was born in 2005. Hildur and her husband Conrad have been members of UUSM since 2010. She's a proud third-generation Unitarian Universalist. UUSM was a big part of the growing up years of her daughters, now a young adult and a teenager. Hildur has taught RE, AL, supported coming of age and UU youth involvement in the Peninsula Multifaith Coalition. She served on the RE committee for years and twice on RE hiring committees. Her background is in early childhood education, and she's been a mother for 20 years, so she seems to be naturally drawn to all things RE. She also has recently served as co-leader of the COVID Task Force. Now that the kids have grown up, and she has too, she's decided to spread her wings and her faith a bit and has joined the UUSM Board of Trustees. She supported the religious exploration transition with Colleen. She led our youth in the Coming of Age program this church year. She served on multiple boards in the past, all education related. It seems to be impossible for her to stay away from work with children, youth, and families. After all, they are the future of our faith. Hildur, welcome to the Connections Podcast. I've been looking forward to being able to sit down with you to have a real conversation. Tell our listeners a little bit about your childhood. What did you love doing when you were a youngster?
An only child. So I did play alone quite a bit. I think I was pretty good at it, actually. So I did a lot of play acting with dolls, where I'd have little adventures going on in my head that I arranged the dolls. I always had friends, kind of like sibling replacement, like always a close friend or two or three.
What was the most challenging part of your teenage years?
Goodness.
You were perfect, obviously.
No, I was not. That is not true. I was a teenager in the 80s, very much Reagan era. I had gone to all different schools, but then I went to a very standard high school. I ended up, I guess, rebelling. It didn't feel like rebellion in my household exactly, but I hung out with the punk rock kids and the skateboarders, which in the 80s in Minneapolis was very alternative.
Right.
And today it's not quite viewed that way. It was a different time.
Right. What took you from Minnesota to New York City?
Well, first I went to college, and then...
Right. You went to college in Wisconsin.
I did.
So how did you make that decision to go there?
To go to Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Horizons weren't huge. I was supposed to go to college. Everyone in my family that had gone to college had gone to college locally. And I was wanting to get away. Wisconsin was enough of a distance. It's probably about like here to LA. And they had reciprocity with Minnesota, so it was a good tuition deal. It's a great school. I had a really good time there. With all that rebellious stuff going on, it's time for me to move on.
Right. Yeah. Straight from college to New York City.
I did. I moved there. It's hard for me to remember how we came up with the plan, but I moved there with a friend at the time. We drove a U-Haul out, and we stayed with friends for a bit when we first got there. That we moved after the summer, and I guess they must have moved at the beginning of the summer, some guys from also from Wisconsin. And then we quickly got an apartment and got jobs. Yeah.
What was your first job there? Was it a teaching job?
Sort of. My dad's background is in juvenile corrections. Mm. So he had made some connections there with, I think I took a trip or something. And I ended up working at a settlement house. And I was in their after school program for 2 years. It was the opposite school schedule. So it was like part time during school and full time when school was off.
Right.
I always had to have a second job, and I was a barista first. It was my first second job.
Yeah. At Starbucks or?
Starbucks had not moved to New York yet then. Wondering. This is a long time ago. Yeah. I was in New York when Starbucks came to New York. No, but the guy who had the place, I was told it was like, oh, he'd been to Starbucks, and it was very much like, but at that time, Starbucks was much, much smaller.
Right.
Modeled his whole thing, but it was called Orange Daily Roast, and he had a few places. He still has places in New York. It was like Starbucks style of, Starbucks is so different now, though. Before Starbucks turned into the McDonald's of coffee.
How did you and Conrad meet?
We met at a party. It was not Valentine's Day, but it was a Valentine's party, I think. Whatever Saturday was close to Valentine's at that time. It was a mutual friend thing. I was with a friend. We had overlap, I guess, in our sort of post-college social life. When I first got to New York, it was very much still like everyone was just out of college. So it was like, oh, your friend from home who went to this college, and then they had those college friends. We met at that party, and we hung out after the party, went to a diner kind of place. Then he was leaving town to visit his mother in Arizona. I didn't know when he was coming back, and it was like we exchanged numbers, and it was kind of like, if I hear from him, when, and I did, when he got back, and the rest is history.
Nice, nice.
We were together about 4 years, and we lived together after maybe about a year and some. It's about 4 years, I mean, before we got married. A good while. We got a dog together. Even.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a commitment.
A first baby.
Right, right. What took you back to Minnesota then after so many years in New York?
Okay. This is another good question that I'm not 100% sure, but basically I was pregnant. Conrad was working remotely for a company that was in Mountain View, California at that time, so we could live anywhere. My memory is he got more of an itch to kind of leave New York City because I think he saw more things as a hassle. We were going to have a baby. We lived in the fourth floor walk-up and subway stairs, and I kept saying, oh, I liked my job. I kept saying, you know, just wait till my maternity leave. Like, I just can't wrap my head around a big move. But then once I had her, and then I said, I've started over a few times. I don't really want to move where I don't know anyone right now. Mm. He was open to Minneapolis. It was like, okay, which was a little weird. I was well into my early 30s, and I hadn't lived there since I was 18. My dad was not living there at the time, but my mom was. Well, as soon as my mom got wind of it, the next visit, she had me lined up with a real estate agent. And I saw a house, and we bought the house, and we moved. And also 9/11 had happened the previous fall. Now in retrospect, I'm like, it was just an unsettling time, I think. And I was teaching then and pregnant. I mean, I think decisions were just sort of made. And yeah.
Then you stayed a couple of years in Minnesota before you, what then brought you to California?
Well, what happened was my husband's a software engineer. And we kind of assumed if the remote job doesn't work out, he could find something there. Because there's jobs in Minneapolis. It's a pretty vibrant place. But the big difference is the salaries are different. And it's just a different kind of working environment. And he's not from the Midwest. He's from the East Coast. So anyway, his company got bought and then layoffs started. This was 2004 when the big bust happened. Right. And we quickly realized, like, I think for him it would have been a big sort of downgrade career-wise to stay there. All his connections were in California. He actually took a job there and then stepped out of it. And then he got offered a job in California, and we moved really fast. It was devastating for my mother.
I bet it was.
Yeah, because I had the grandchild.
Right.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Big, big transition, yeah.
Your mom was devastated, but not angry, right?
No. I mean, I think she spent a little time, how can we get her to stay?
I'm
met
sure.
with my dad even when he was in town. And my dad is much more like, you know, they need to do what they need to do kind of thing. She's visited a lot because it was super priority for her to be a part of her grandchildren's. Of course. She's an only child too. And mm-hmm. I'm an only child. We are the family.
Okay. When was Astrid born then?
She was born in 2005.
And you were already out here when that
Yes.
happened.
Yes. Actually, I think I delayed having a second because the layoff was, you know, I was interviewing for jobs there. We were very much in flux right around when Tekla turned two. So it was like, no more kids right now. We need to like sort out what we're even doing.
Right.
And then we got here and it was like, oh, okay. Then time to think about a second. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. You joined UUSM in 2011. Mm-hmm. So kids were...
They were second grade and Astrid was three. We'd lived here 4 or 5 years at that point. I think we visited before that. I have a memory of visiting. My relationship with church after probably about middle school, quite honestly. I wasn't attending much. I would visit, like I remember in New York going on Easter with a friend once and stuff like that. When I was in college, there was a Frank Lloyd Wright designed small UU church in Madison. So I'd go there with my dad when he came sometimes. But like I just was a Unitarian Universalist. I mean, it's like someone who grows up Catholic, like they're Catholic, but they don't go all the time. Like right. I didn't have to go. I didn't think about it that much because it was all I knew really in that regard. The kids were little, and we're not big morning people, so I'm sure that was a piece. We woke, one Easter, I woke up, and we'd done the whole Easter basket egg hiding business, and I had those rolls that come in a can, the like cinnamon ones. Like I had some of those, and I forgot to defrost it, and I had this like crushing, this is Easter? Candy and food, and I was like, we're going to church. And we went that day, that Easter.
Oh,
and
nice.
Easter was always my favorite.
Right.
So it was like perfect. I think much that was it. And Vale was the minister at the time. And we clicked. She grew up with you also and is probably close to my age. So we clicked with that. I remember her saying to us at one point when we went to one of those intro things. Because Conrad had attended UU church a bit as a kid too. Like, what took you guys so long? But another piece of it was I had been reading an illustrated children's Bible with Tekla. Because she was curious. And I was a literature major. So I thought, oh, Bible stories are a very important foundation of literature. I can handle this. And then we got in kind of deep. Like, some of the stories were just very wrought. And I was like, I'm in over my head. She was a very black and white thinker, you know, 6 or 7 years old or whatever she was. So that was the other thing, is I was like, we need some outside help with this.
Why did you pick UUSM as opposed to...
Because it's the closest geographically.
Yeah. Okay.
I've never been to Redwood City. I have been to San Francisco, which are two. So okay. I've never been to Palo Alto's church. So
yeah,
that was it.
All right. Tell our listeners about your family, however you define that word.
I have my immediate family here that we've talked about, which actually the older one's not here anymore.
Where is she?
She's in France and she's about to be in New York for the summer.
Mm.
Yeah, so she's grown and flown. It's become quite obvious recently. None of my family is here. They're all pretty much in Minnesota. I have one cousin who's not, and my mom being an only child, I don't have family that I know on that side. And my parents are not together anymore, haven't been since I was 18. I have a step family. I have a stepmother, and she has kids, and they have a couple kids, and she's from a huge family, my stepmother. They're not exactly my family, but they are family.
Right.
The
right.
Levels of family. My mom has had a couple long relationships, so they were kind of temporary family.
Okay. And... tell our listeners about the animals that are in your life right now.
I just have a little dog. She's a Boston Terrier, and she's very, very small. My family has a long history with Boston Terriers. This is Conrad and I's second. And my grandmother had them. My mom has one. She's a great little dog. Her name's Margot.
Mm-hmm. And no more chickens?
Oh, we have chickens. Those are Conrad's.
Okay.
I don't really think of them as pets. They're animals.
I specifically said animals rather than pets. Because...
Yeah, they're out in the backyard. It's terrible. I kind of forget about them. But they're very there. They're in the corner of the backyard and they lay eggs, sweet eggs. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good eggs. I got to have some.
Pandemic chickens.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. You've served UUSM in many different capacities, including serving on the board. What role have you enjoyed the most?
Interestingly, because I'm more of an early childhood person in general, I really like that developmental level. But I think I've enjoyed the youth work more at the church, because I think it's hard to connect, I think, with really young kids. And that's why I liked being a classroom teacher, because you really built your classroom community and you're with them every day. Maybe because it was a bit of a stretch with the youth. But I worked with the youth originally because I was big on not working with my own kids too much. I did teach RE with Colleen, with Tecklin there a couple times a long time ago. But I was like, sure, I'll work with the youth ahead of when Tecla was youth age. Because I was like, I'm not going to be doing that stuff when she's in there. Because I like my kids to have the... But I did lead coming of age with Astrid. But that was the pandemic, I think. And it was a stretch because that's not my parenting style, really. I really enjoyed leading the coming of age. I think it was really rewarding, partly because it was so... I didn't think about it a lot. It was just like, if this is going to happen, it has to happen. And I got the kids and it came to fruition. And I think then you have pride in like, oh, I did this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so
kids were great.
I'm so glad you stepped in to do that. And I'll find out more about how you did when I interview Astrid. We've been talking about her doing that podcast.
Yeah.
And... if that's the role you enjoyed most, what role was the most challenging for you?
Oh, for sure, the COVID task force.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, just because it was really big. I mean, our church was entirely online. I mean, basically, they had that need. I think Ben recognized it and recruited Colleen and I. I'm not even really sure why us. Probably because I think honestly we hadn't been very involved. So it was like, as everyone else was burnt out, like, oh, maybe these two have some energy to do this. I thought it was really challenging it was such a rot topic at the time, and trying to get us back to church and everything had to be reinvented. We were like outside and wiring, and then suddenly we didn't really even know I knew how services happened, but in a really loose way, and all of a sudden just the nature of it, you had to know all this stuff, and there were really few people around, and then people had really differing opinions about not getting vaccinated, but what we should allow to be present at. We've come a long way in the last, you almost forget, like, oh, back then it was like nobody wanted to be around anybody
period.
But they did, but they didn't. How do we come together? Yeah, people were slow to come back. It was just very, turbulence came later, and a lot of upheaval and change. And there were three staff on the committee and at that time. Now we do even have, now maybe we have three staff again.
Yeah, I think we do. I'm what you call senior staff now.
Yeah.
Even though I've been here like 14 months.
Yeah. And that team formed in like sometime 2021 spring. So,
when we came back.
Yeah. Right.
Does the COVID task force exist anymore? Has it been officially dissolved?
Yes. Yeah. It was officially... we need Colleen. She's good with dates. It was officially dissolved, I think, in the winter. After the holidays, I think. The board kind of took it on. And Colleen and I are on the board anyway. And so is David. And we were all that was left. Okay. It was just me, Colleen, and David. So it was also, at the point, three people. David owns... I'd say he owns it now. He monitors COVID levels and puts a report to the board every month. And, yeah. It's where it should be. It should be with the board.
Right.
At this point, yeah, I think.
What are your hopes for the future of UUSM?
Oh, goodness. That things get a little easier.
Yay for that.
Just because it's awesome to see everybody come together, but I think there's this feeling like, And I've seen this before in volunteer work, where people are working so hard that boundaries have to be put up or not. And it just gets, like, we need to just relax.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, just, and we'll still have to do work and stuff will still be hard. But I think a little more, what would it be? More, there was a principle like, it's many hands make light work. We're not quite at the many hands.
Right.
We need, and there will always be the people that want to do a lot, like mm-hmm. that is their fire or whatever, but I think right now we end up doing stuff because it's like, well, if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. Right. It really has to happen.
Right, right.
Yeah, which is good and empowering in a way, too, and we know we can do it, but I'd like to see everybody be able to just sort of relax a little bit more.
Yeah.
That moment of zen for us.
Right. And I think that getting into the sanctuary is going to help our growth, mm-hmm. and that will give us more hands, I think. I think this next year is going to be a year of a lot of growth.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap this up with quick hitters. I'll ask you a quick question, and you give me an answer.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. What's the best ice cream flavor?
Probably salted caramel from Salt and Straw.
Salted caramel from
Salt and Straw.
Is that an ice cream place?
Ice cream place, yeah.
Ooh, where is it?
It's in Burlingame. Oh. It's out of Portland, though, so we were super excited when they opened one near us.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go there very often, but
when you do, it's salted caramel.
It's a very tasty place, yeah.
All right. What is the best advice you ever got?
Now, this is a funny one, too, because I actually could not think of a single piece of advice. That's weird, right? But then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, I don't know, between the kind of family I had, maybe the Midwest, the sort of Scandinavian, fewer words, you know, my grandparents weren't imparting, like some people quote their grandparents as imparting all this talk. And I was like, in a way, I think the way that went is it was almost advice in itself, because the message was I was trusted as a person instead of, oh, you need to do this and you need to do that. Maybe I didn't get as much advice because I think I put enough pressure on myself. I went to college like I was supposed to or whatever. But in a way, I think that was more empowering. I was very independent, encouraged to be very independent. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I was a little probably too on my own and like, oh, why didn't somebody tell me to stop doing that or do that? But I think then you don't rely on outside stuff to figure out what you're supposed to be doing and how to do it.
All right. What kinds of things keep you up at night?
Oh, gosh. All kinds of things. I don't sleep very well. Just those little worries, the state of the world. There's been a lot to worry about, I think, in the last, sort of always, but back to that Reagan era youth thing. But, yeah. You know, and you still worry about your kids, even though they're fine and they're old, and yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
What is the most used app on your phone?
The apps we're talking, like the photo app.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, I mean, like app I downloaded from the App Store. Yeah, definitely the photo app.
Yeah.
The camera app.
Camera.
Yeah, okay. Camera.
Well, it works hand in hand with the photo app.
Well, photos so actually separate.
That's right.
The camera.
What is your best source for news?
I don't know what's best, but I'm definitely like dependent on the New York Times and NPR at the most, because I think they're the easiest for me to take in. I listen to the Daily like most days, and I found out they have some new headline thing that sounds cool where they're doing 10 minutes.
You haven't tried it yet?
Have you tried it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I hadn't, but I will. Yeah, app-wise, I should probably also admit I'm hugely addicted to the New York Times Bee.
Ah.
So I open that a lot. It's maybe to keep at it during the day when you have time.
Right.
So that's probably opened a lot. Like, it probably would appear I'm reading the paper all the time, but mm-hmm. a good amount of the time I'm, like, trying to get some of that.
But not Wordle?
I don't like Wordle that much.
Huh.
My dad does Wordle, and we're in a group chat, and I'll do it once in a while, but I don't know why I don't like it as much.
Hmm. Okay. It's not as hard as B.
No, I think that's part of it. It's over really quick.
Right.
You can't really keep at it. You either do well or you don't. Yeah.
What are you reading right now?
Oh, I just had my book group last night. We read Bootstrapping. I won't remember the author. It's a woman. It's an interesting book. It's about the term bootstrapping and that our American culture way has really been really built on that idea that anybody can pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Every chapter is kind of not an anecdotal, but it's an example of where that's gone awry in different either cultural influences or actual stuff about things that are going on with people, that it's really impossible, and that we really all, even people who think they're self-made, if you really look at it, they usually aren't.
Okay.
There's usually some amount of like privilege or something behind yeah. success.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the book?
Yeah, I did. I picked it. So.
Oh, good.
Well, I picked it because I heard of the author, I think it was being interviewed on NPR, and she was saying, you know, Little House on the Prairie mm-hmm. series,
sure.
and being from Minnesota, you know, Lauren Goes Wilder. Yeah, she was saying that basically kind of propaganda, that whole, and I was like, wait, Little House on the Prairie propaganda? I've got to read this book. Propaganda is a strong word, but once I read it, and she doesn't use the word propaganda, I don't think, in the book, but it's true. That whole series, which there's, I don't know if you read those to your kid, but there's like this, I'm holding my hands up. There's about 4 feet of books there. And it was all, you know, that they were just merrily doing this stuff and pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. And yeah, and really it didn't usually go that well.
Right.
Laura definitely put a positive spin on that lifestyle.
If you could have one superpower for just one day, what would it be?
That's tough, too. I don't really need any superpowers, but it'd be fun to be invisible, I think. I've always liked, I actually like anonymity quite a bit.
Mm.
That's one thing I really did like about living in New York. And you could, nobody knew you. You might run into somebody you knew once in a while, but you could really just buzz around and kind of like you're invisible.
Right. You make a sandwich and you cut it in half. Do you cut it straight up and down in half, or do you cut it on the diagonal?
I don't really eat sandwiches, but I used to make them for my kids, I guess. I always cut them in half, but it's funny because I think of my dad cutting them diagonally and have kind of a nostalgic, like, but then why don't I cut them diagonally if I think that's a nice thing?
All right. What famous person did you admire while you were growing up?
Oh, I'm not into fame. That sounds horrible.
Lauren
I'm really not.
Wow.
I'm a big Prince fan. Mm. Being from Minneapolis, I will say, but I don't know if I admire him. Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
Are you sure you don't want to say Nancy Reagan? Just kidding.
Yeah.
What's the scariest animal?
Right now, probably a tie for me between rats and raccoons.
Mm.
Yeah, with the chickens, we're always fighting rats.
Ah.
And then I have a little dog, so I live in fear of raccoons. Like, we don't let her out at night, not on a long leash, because she doesn't know how to interact with machine gunners, things like that. Mm. I do live in fear of in relation to my dog, with the raccoons, yeah.
What's your go-to pizza order?
Oh, we make pizzas at home now, but
what do you
before that, a lot of stuff. There's a place near us called Rise, and they have a pizza that's really good that has dates on it.
Mm.
And it sounds weird. No tomato sauce, you know, more of a like onion and I think goat cheese. Very tasty, yeah.
I bet that is good. Rise, okay.
Rise, yeah. There's one in San Mateo too at the old train station.
What's your favorite local charity?
Oh, gosh. To give to, one that I think has a big impact in our community is Second Harvest.
Yes.
So far as our own church, it doesn't seem as so as much now, but we were really involved with Homework Central.
Mm-hmm.
And I volunteered with them for 5 years, and it was a big impact in a smaller way.
What's the best religion?
Well... The only one for me is this one, which I never called UU until more recently, but Unitarian Universalism. And I used to just say I was a Unitarian when I was young, because maybe it was too long. It's the best for me, but I don't know if it's the best, because people seem to get a lot of things out of different things. But for me, it's the best, yeah.
All right. You made it through.
Oh. That was felt much quicker than I thought it would. You know, when you sent it, it was like...
It looked like a lot of questions. Yeah. I asked them all. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and to let our listeners get to know you better. Many thanks to our listeners and to Hildur Carlin. Keep making connections.